You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
From the broadcast center of WCRN 830, you're tuned to All Politics is Local. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. And one of the benefits of having your own radio program is you can have your friends come in and join you on a Sunday morning. We're joined by honorary state committee member Ed McGrath. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, John, and thank you for putting that way rather than Ed McGrath, guy who lost re-election campaign for state committee. Sounds much better to say honorary state committee man.
Well, Ed, you also are a prominent Framingham attorney, and I think you're still the chair of the Framingham Town Committee, Republican Town Committee, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm proud to still be chair of the Framingham Republican Town Committee, and I'm proud to be getting pumped up to go to the caucuses next week to vote for my good friend, Terry Hendricks.
All right.
Send Terry to Cleveland,
An unpaid political
ad. Well, you know, Ed, that's the reason why we invited you to come in. All Politics is Local. If you want to join the program or call in and say hi to Ed, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. But you brought up the GOP caucuses, which are next Saturday throughout the state of Massachusetts. Doors open at 9 o'clock. Go to massgop.com to find out where your caucuses are being held. Bring your ID. Doors open at 9 a.m. The caucus starts promptly by law at 10 o'clock. And let's talk about it, Ed. What's your thought about the upcoming caucuses?
Well, I'm very excited for them. To be frank, when we were deciding the rules for this coming season, I wasn't a supporter of having the caucuses, but the state committee disagreed with me, and so we're going to have the caucuses. So everyone is committed to making them work and using this advantage to select the delegates to go to Cleveland and the alternate delegates.
So, Ed, if you don't select delegates by caucus, how would you? What's the alternative?
Well, briefly put, the way the plan would have worked that the state committee put forward is each of the campaigns who won delegates through the primary would have selected the delegates to go to represent them.
Mm-hmm.
By now, Donald Trump would have chosen 22 of his best supporters to go and represent him at the convention.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be hearing this talk of people trying to steal delegates or do things like that. I'm pretty confident that Donald Trump is going to have the delegates he needs on the first ballot to win. And I think the convention will be very well run and go very smoothly. But we do have to plan for alternatives. And the rules are in place to make sure that whoever goes to the convention will go and vote their conscience if there is a second and third ballot.
The alternative actually sounds kind of good because that would ensure that the people who receive the votes from, you know, the voters would be represented, I guess, proportionally in Massachusetts anyway, is proportional. Some states are winner take all, but I think I could see merit in both ways.
There are merit in both ways and
disadvantages.
The caucus system won, so that's the way we're going to go, and we're going to make that work. And the upside to the caucus is it is a chance for people who are registered Republicans. I believe the cutoff date is February 9th or 10th.
February 10th.
You had to be registered to vote in the primary
You had to be a registered Republican on that date.
Yeah, but for ours. Now, the Democrats had their caucuses, two or 3 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago on a Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and so all the Democratic delegates for, you know, Bernie or Hillary or whoever, I think they're all just Bernie and Hillary, were selected 2 weeks ago.
It's hard to say that name, isn't it?
Not without choking a little.
And several hundreds of Hillary Clinton's delegates were in the bag several months ago.
The superdelegates. Now, the thing about the superdelegates, I think if Bernie were doing a little bit better, you could see some of the superdelegates, I think, switch trains, so to speak, and I would think. But, you know, it looks like Hillary close to having it locked. She... She only needs 23% of the remaining delegates to get it, and Bernie needs to win 73% of the remaining delegates. And
not going to happen.
He's, well, not exactly mathematically eliminated. It's getting pretty close. Of course, on the Republican side, it's Donald Trump needs to get 54% of the remaining 733 delegates to be voted, and Ted Cruz needs 92%. Now, the probability of Ted Cruz getting 92% is not zero, but it's pretty close. And then John Kasich, he has 148 delegates, and he might pick up a few odds and ends more, but there's absolutely, he's mathematically eliminated months ago at this point.
Well, if we think back to 2012, when we had the last presidential caucus, it was quite interesting. Throughout the state, the Paul people were very organized and got their vote out and, you know, kind of, I won't use the term, took over the, you know, the caucuses, but they pushed their candidate very, very strong. It does seem in the last week to 10 days that the Trump people are starting to get their ground game up and running, or running a slate of, what are they running it under? What are they calling their slate?
I would think the Trump for President slate, but who knows?
And then
I don't know exactly.
And then there's another cause out there, the Liberty Slate. Have you guys heard about that?
I've heard. Yeah, Brad Wyatt, I think, is the guy that seems to be the head of that, or at least the most visible person I know on it.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it all comes about to play. One key thing that you have to remember that you have to do, you have to bring your Massachusetts ID, driver's license or ID, because when you get checked in at the door, and the, you know, you will be checked at the door to make sure that you are a registered Republican, because only registered Republicans can vote at this caucus. But it's important. But Terry, tell people why you think it's important to go to Cleveland.
Basically, we might be picking the next president of the United States.
Well, nothing more important than that.
Is that not important? I think it is.
I know nothing is more important. But your experiences with the caucuses over the years, Ed, I mean, why don't you just kind of set the expectation for people out there listening to what they could be getting themselves into on Saturday?
Well, I can guarantee you won't get out of there before noon. By the time people get in there and registered, please arrive as early as you can. Doors open at 9.
But they close at 10, don't they?
But you can't get in after 10 o'clock. Once the caucus starts, it starts. There will be balloting for each of the delegate positions and the alternate delegates. It could go on quite some time. The ballots have to be counted between each of the balloting. So it could take quite some time. It is a great process, and there was some controversy that came up 4 years ago. The rules are very similar to 4 years ago, but there are differences. 4 years ago, no one but Mitt Romney earned more than 15% of the vote. So Mitt Romney, by law, controlled all the delegates. Now, that had numbers of repercussions that we don't have this time. Mitt Romney was the only person with the representative on the allocation committee. This time, Ted Cruz, Kasich, they had representatives on the allocation committee, and they've agreed to use these rules that we're proceeding under. 4 years ago, because Mitt Romney controlled all the delegates, the rules provide that if a candidate had reason to believe people elected under his name would not support him, he could challenge them. And that happened 4 years ago, so the allocation committee had to deal with those controversies. And I was chairman of the allocation committee, and I think we did it in a very fair way. The challenges we heard, the people who wanted the caucuses went. The only people who didn't go 4 years ago were people who would not sign an affidavit saying they voted, they promised to vote for Mitt Romney, and they would do that. Now, that was important because Mitt Romney controlled all the delegates, and he could challenge them. And if he challenged them and proved by a preponderance of the evidence that there was reason to believe they would not fulfill their legal obligation, the allocation committee had a duty to replace those delegates with the alternates who were also elected.
Right.
To avoid that, the allocation committee asked the delegates to sign the affidavit those who would not sign it did not go. Those were the only people who did not go 4 years ago.
Now, Ed, so how many people that were elected delegates were kicked off or rejected or didn't make it through the process?
My memory is it was a handful of elected delegates who would not sign the affidavit and did not go. I don't remember the exact number.
So a handful to me is three or four, maybe five.
Correct.
Out of roughly 42 or 44, something like that.
Correct. And the hearings the allocation committee did have, we found for the elected delegates in every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the process 4 years ago was fair. I'm not involved with the process this year as intimately as I was 4 years ago, but I'm sure it'll be fair this year. And if people don't go and participate in the caucus, they have no right to complain. Just like if you don't go to an election and vote in the election, you have no right to complain.
Yeah, I agree. If you want to complain, you have to vote, to me. You know, you don't vote, I'm sorry, you can't complain. Tough.
Correct. Yeah. And John mentioned it 4 years ago. It was incredible how organized certain campaigns were getting their people there.
Yeah.
But the problem was they hadn't done well in the primary, so they didn't have a seat at the table. This year, the candidates, many of them do. They were involved in drafting the rules. They were involved in approving them. They agreed to them. So I expect the caucuses this year will go very smoothly and very well.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm still thinking there's going to be a broker convention. I know some people in the media are saying that, you know, Trump's got the clear path now, but I still think there's going to be a broker convention, and I think that's why it makes even the delegate process more intriguing and more important. So, I mean,
well,
what do you think, Terry?
I think anytime you have the responsibility to vote, in a concentrated way like that, it's important. If you think about who we're going to elect, whoever it is, it's an important job, but you're representing the people of your district, and you need to vote, at least on the first ballot, you must vote as a Trump or a Kasich or Cruz or whatever delegate, or Rubio. There are some Rubio delegates being elected.
So if you live in the 5th Congressional District, be on Speen Street in Natick at 9 o'clock next Saturday.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, it's the bottom of the hour. Let's get on top of things with CBS News. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks, Ed McGrath, John Featherston, and we'll also be joined by Marty Lamb of the Mass GOP State Committee right after the break. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN.